From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Micah chapter 5 and verse 4. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Christ's reign in His church is that of a shepherd king. He has supremacy, but it is the superiority of a wise and tender shepherd over his needy and loving flock. He commands and receives obedience, but it is the willing obedience of the well-cared-for sheep rendered joyfully to their beloved shepherd, whose voice they know so well. He rules by the force of love and the energy of goodness. His reign is practical in its character. It is said, He shall stand and feed. The great head of the church is actively engaged in providing for His people. He does not sit down upon the throne in empty state or hold a scepter without wielding it in government. No, He stands and feeds. The expression feed in the original is like an analogous one in the Greek, which means to shepherdize, to do everything expected of a shepherd, to guide, to watch, to preserve, to restore, to tend, as well as to feed. His reign is continual in its duration. It is said, He shall stand and feed, not He shall feed now and then and leave His position. Not He shall one day grant a revival and the next day leave His church to barrenness. His eyes never slumber and His hands never rest. His heart never ceases to beat with love, and His shoulders are never weary of carrying His people's burdens. His reign is effectually powerful in its action. He shall feed in the strength of Jehovah. Wherever Christ is, there is God. And whatever Christ does is the act of the Most High. Oh, it is a joyful truth to consider that He who stands today representing the interests of His people is very God of very God, to whom every knee shall bow. Happy are we who belong to such a Shepherd, whose humanity communes with us and whose divinity protects us. Let us worship and bow down before Him as the people of His pasture.
Come, Christians, join to sing the praise to Christ our King. Let all with heart and voice before His throne in praise rejoice. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia.
Praise Him, alleluia.
desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it, several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of the message called The Curse of God's Law. Galatians 3:10 states, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. As we've seen, the law exposes sin for what it really is. Then the law condemns sinners for their sin. For all who fail to render a complete and perfect obedience are under God's curse. Furthermore, the law condemns sinners for seeking salvation by partial obedience, trying somehow to put God under obligation to them. The Scripture states that the law of God commends and accepts perfect obedience. Yet, who can say that he or she has perfectly obeyed God's law? The answer to this dilemma is found in the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who perfectly obeyed God's law and who suffered the penalty of that law for those who will receive him as their Savior and Lord. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, The Curse of the Law.
What is it that it's impossible for the law to do? What is it that the law has absolutely no power to perform? Well, Paul tells you here in Romans chapter 8, and it is to set sinners free from condemnation. You can say, I'm going to try to obey God's law. You'll not free yourself from condemnation that way. Can't do it. Because remember what I said. Every partial obedience is a total disobedience. So that even your attempts to save yourself by the law end up damning yourself more and more comprehensively as a lawbreaker. The law can only do one thing to a sinner. only one thing. That is, condemn him. The law can do absolutely nothing else. It is powerless to do anything for a sinner but expose his sin and condemn his soul. If that were all the Bible had to say about the curse of the law, we would live in a sad, sad world indeed. I want you to stop there. The curse of the law is something real. It is something terrible. It is something truly awful. The curse of the law. The very words should chill your heart. They reveal the face of a frowning deity, of an offended God, of a wrathful judge. The curse of God's law. But I have one thing more to say about the curse of the law. This is the light at the end of the tunnel. The law commands and accepts perfect obedience. That's the implication of our text. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. The implication is, blessed is everyone that continues in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And I know that implication is just because didn't we read in Romans chapter 7 that the law was ordained to life? The law was ordained to life. We have in the Bible reading tonight a quotation from Leviticus 18 and verse 5 that the man that doeth the commandments shall live in them. When the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus wanting to know what to do to be saved, what did Jesus say? You know the commandments. Now the Lord Jesus was not saying do your best to fulfill the commandments and you'll be saved. What he was saying is what Paul later said, if there ever was a law given that could do men good, this is that law. Its tendency is to life. It is a law that commands obedience. It is a law that accepts perfect obedience. The tragedy is that in man it never finds it. Where can the law find one who has perfect obedience? Where can the law find one who is free from the guilt of Adam's first transgression? Where can the law find one who is sinless in nature, sinless in principle, and sinless in practice? Is there such an one? Bless God, there's one. There's only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. He is the one. God said, this is my beloved Son. In Him I am well pleased. The law of God searches out the thoughts of Christ, the feelings of Christ, the motions of the soul of Christ, the words of Christ, the deeds of Christ, the inner man and the outer man. And the law of God stands forth with the verdict, God is well pleased. Here is the perfect man. The Psalm 37 says, mark the perfect man. Well, here we mark him. The law of God marks him as such and pronounces blessings on his head. Blessed is the one who continues in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. What's the story of the life of Christ? It is the story of his continuing in all things that God wrote in the book of the law to do them. It is the story of perfect, impeccable, sinless, spotless obedience to God's law. It is the story that Jesus expressed in the words, "I do always those things that please God." So Christ is blessed. We read tonight of the blessing of Abraham. That really is the blessing of Christ pronounced on Abraham. If there were any way for sinners to be united to this one, accepted by God by the standards of the law, if there were any way for sinners to be made partakers of his divine nature, if there were any way for sinners to be invested with his righteousness, then those sinners would stand blessed and accepted before the holy law of God. And bless God, that's what the gospel of Christ is all about. That is the very point of the gospel. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's the final great truth about the curse of the law. God has accepted Christ, and he has accepted us in Christ, who shed his blood for us. Christ, by his life, fulfilled the precept of the law. Christ, by his death, paid the penalty of the broken law. Christ, who has perfectly pleased God and fulfilled his law, has received the blessing from God. Not just for himself, but for all who believe in him. So that what you can't gain by works, you can gain by Christ's work. What you can't obtain by doing, you obtain by believing. Bless God tonight. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By being made a curse for us. It brings me to a very solemn conclusion. The curse of God's law must be executed against every sin of man ever committed. Think that through. The curse of God's law must be executed against every sin of man ever committed. Jesus Christ does not redeem us from the curse of the law by abrogating the law. No, he does it by fulfilling the law. He does not redeem us from the curse of the law by simply, as God, wiping out the curse, eradicating it from existence. No, he does it by bearing the curse. By bearing the curse. By taking all the wrath of God against sin. By taking upon himself all the fury of a broken law, Jesus Christ fulfilled its sentence. Jesus Christ paid full homage, if I could use the word, to the sovereign purity of God's law. And only by bearing its curse could he redeem us from that curse. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Christ was made a curse for us. Where is the curse of the law? That's a very important question for me tonight, for when I look into this heart, I find myself still a sinner. The more I've studied God's law, I have to be honest with you, the more I feel I don't even have the right to stand behind a gospel pulpit. The more I've studied God's law, the more I've come to recognize the words of Charles Wesley, "Vile and full of sin I am, thou art full of grace and truth." So it's a very big question for me. Where is the curse of God's law against my sin? I thank God tonight. I can look away to that place that Bunyan described, that place somewhat ascending, that little hill crag called Calvary. I can see there on that center cross the blessed, blessed Jesus take all the curse of God for me. I've quoted the words before, and I have no doubt I'll quote them again. In one almighty draught he drank damnation dry. He took the cup of God's curse and he drank it to its last bitter dregs. And now there is no curse for me. The blessing replaces the curse for all who believe in Jesus. I hope tonight that you have begun to see sin for what it really is. That you've realized the condemnation of a holy God through His law against you as a sinner and a lawbreaker, and even as a partial lawkeeper. But I trust tonight that God has pointed you to Calvary. God will pronounce His curse against your sin, either in Christ or in you. Either at the cross or in hell. I wonder, which will it be? Which will it be? We close this meeting tonight. The thought strikes me, I look out in a sea of faces. Every man, every woman, every child here, a vile, wretched, guilty, rotten, filthy, hell-deserving sinner. The curse of God is real against all our sin. And yet some can point to a cross where the curse was burned out in Christ. And others are going on under the curse to face the wrath of a sin-hating God. Which is it with you tonight? Which is it with you? May God speak to your heart. If you're not a Christian, may God give you, perhaps for the first time, a sight of what you really are. Divest you of your pride. Bring you as a penitent soul to the old rugged cross. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. I want every man and woman to leave this house because of their experience of grace, going home singing, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! For the cross."
You've been been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.